Chapter 9. We are project engineers. Management works in the system. Leadership works on the system. Stephen Covey. As an ad hoc synopsis, by now you know how much I like to review things to drill them home. The essence of the work the system method is to 1. Internalize the fundamental outside and slightly elevated system improvement perspective. 2. Pinpoint and describe goals for your business, job, and life. Briefly define the general methods you will use to achieve those goals. This is your strategic objective. 3. Create your personal collection of general operating principles. Use them to control decision making. 4. Define specific systems for improvement, including the ones that exist and the ones you must create. Be ready to discard others. 5. Dissect each system into its most fundamental components. For your business or your job, describe each system on paper in a 1-2-3-step format. 6. Improve the efficiency of the component steps, one system at a time, and leaning hard towards stark simplicity. Change sequences and add or delete steps as necessary. Make each of your systems perfect. 7. Document each system into a working procedure in order to ensure the continuity of your systems for your business or your job. Working procedures are not necessary for your non-work life. 8. Put the new working procedures into play and tend to them on a regular basis, inspecting and tweaking as necessary. Your personal analogy. In step 1, internalizing the system improvement perspective is mandatory. Without this visceral grasp, subsequent steps 2 through 8 just won't happen in your real mechanical world. The strength to take a new direction comes more from a belief lodged in the belly rather than from something new learned in the head. To really grasp the system improvement perspective, it is useful to create a personal system analogy, a systems template that you find personally meaningful. Your analogy will illustrate systems methodology to you. In your day-to-day existence, you will keep this analogy in mind in order to keep your system's perspective front and center, and to remind you of the characteristics that all systems share. A vivid personal system analogy is the antidote to a too busy day, that is, a day that ruthlessly attempts to divert your attention from the system improvement process to the wasteful act of fire killing. The analogy will keep you on target. You want your analogy to be personally believable. Its mechanical basis must be something you don't question. Also, it's essential to find one that is easy to visualize as separate from its surroundings, one that can stand on its own. If you are in medicine, bodily systems offer myriad possibilities. You can draw examples from organ function, skeletal structure, or recovery from injury. If you sell cars, consider the conveyor belt of an auto plant, or a car itself with all of its subsystems and how they must be monitored and tweaked to stay at peak efficiency. As a firefighter, think about the equipment and procedures that must function efficiently no matter what. A pilot has the pre-flight checklist, which is a terrific example of examining an existing system for flaws while ensuring that all subsystems are at peak efficiency. The airplane itself, or even a single flight, is a great system analogy as the aircraft automatically conducts directional micro-adjustments, confirms subsystems are functional, and warns of system dysfunction. Your analogy will keep your energies channeled towards system management, as it reminds you that a jumble of fire killing will drag you down. Your analogy will be a steady reminder that you are a project engineer who creates and maintains efficient systems, not a fire killer who responds to crisis after crisis. The analogy will help you enormously at the beginning. Later, it will be an occasional pleasant reflection of what you believe, where you stand, and how you get through the day. As an illustration, the following is the analogy I use. As you read, start to think of one that fits your own world. No, you don't have to put it down on paper. The new service facilitator. My personal analogy is about electricity, how it reaches people in their homes and businesses, and my past role as an electric utility employee. Power line circuits perfectly illustrate the mechanics of the work the system methodology to me. So this is my analogy of a closed system. It is easy for me to visualize an electricity distribution system as a separate, unique entity, and not one in which surrounding complexities of the world infringe. It's my personal, perfect illustration of the mechanics of linear systems everywhere. When I was 28, I took a job in the engineering department of a rural electric utility near my home in Central Oregon. The utility is one of the largest Rural Electrification Administration co-ops in the United States, with thousands of miles of power lines branching throughout the Central Oregon region and serving tens of thousands of residential, commercial, and agricultural customers. Of all co-ops in the United States, my co-op's operations and engineering personnel experienced the most extreme environmental, meteorological, and socioeconomic challenges. On the same day, linemen can face both mountain snowstorms and desert heat, vertical mountain pitches, and long river crossings, high-density city construction, and remote rural troubleshooting. For the first half of my 7-year stint with the co-op, my job title was New Service Facilitator. As one of the co-op's 4 new service facilitators, I met with contractors and landowners who were about to build homes. My task was to arrange for our construction crews to tap into the nearest existing power line in order to extend new electric service to the customer's construction site. Usually, the distance from the power line to the site was fewer than 100 yards. I examined the new home site, found the closest power pole, and wrote up instructions and a list of materials for the construction crews so they could get the electricity delivered to the customer via low-voltage, overhead, and underground cable. My job had little to do with the primary electrical system. My area of responsibility was outside the massive power-generating dams that created the electricity far to the north on the Columbia River, and outside the thousands of miles of high-voltage power lines and associated complex equipment that distributes electricity in bulk throughout the region. My task was to establish small power line extensions to individual new customers by designing small subsystems. These subsystems were simple additions to my utility's massive electricity distribution network, the primary system. I filled this position as a new service facilitator for 3 years. Then I got a promotion. The promotion moved me from the periphery of the system to the heart of it, where I would have a much greater impact on the primary system itself and on the many customers it served. My new job title was Project Engineer, a perfect description of my new role, and in your new role, it will be your title too, so pay attention here. I would be responsible for designing and supervising the construction of large, high-voltage distribution feeders into whole subdivisions, as well as working on many complex system improvement projects that affected thousands of customers at a time. It was also my job to keep an eye on large segments of the primary electrical system in order to spot problems and to recommend improvements. There was the necessary overall maintenance, too. System components aged and the environment changed, and it was my job to monitor these variables and recommend repairs and upgrades. In short, my job was to analyze portions of the main electrical distribution system, design improvements, and then pass those designs on to the construction crews. I put my designs down on paper using a precise format. The goal was to be thorough yet concise, to give the construction crews the information they needed, no more and no less, so they could proceed quickly through the construction work. Note how the analogy describes my transition from handling small and isolated add-on tasks to large internal system improvement projects. Also note there were strict design and documentation protocols. Flirting with the new perspective. My previous position and my new position had an important commonality. In each case, when I went to work, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, I was focused on the co-op's electrical system. While I was on the job, the system stood separate from the rest of the world. Sure, I took breaks, had lunch, and made a personal phone call now and then, but all in all, the electricity distribution system, the network of poles and wire, was paramount in my consciousness, standing out in my mind as its own entity, separate and distinct from my children, my finances, my politics. When I was on the job, the electricity distribution system had my focused attention as if nothing else existed. And it was not just separate in my mind, it was that way in reality. A primary system inserted into the world as an independent entity, spreading its tentacles as it fulfilled its singular purpose of delivering electricity to lots of people. At the end of the day, as I returned home to pay attention to the other systems of my life, I changed my perspective as if I had flipped a switch. I didn't consciously notice this daily transition, and little did I know that I was toying with the outside and slightly elevated perspective that would form the basis of this book. If you are like most people, you are in that same place, with an unconscious tendency to dissect complexities so the exposed elements can be dealt with one at a time. The Work the System method will turn that soft, ephemeral tendency into an assertive, structured quest, an everyday pilgrimage to isolate and then work the systems that compose your world. System management. With the promotion of the co-op, my role morphed from designing small subsystems for individual customers to making system improvements in the primary electrical system that served thousands of customers. Instead of adding to the primary electrical system in bits and pieces, I was managing large segments to ensure that it continued to provide an uninterrupted supply of electricity to large numbers of customers. I tweaked and coddled the primary system to keep it strong and efficient. Notice I was not climbing the poles or stringing the wire. My job was to devise system improvements that would make the primary electrical system more robust, and then to oversee the implementation of those system improvements by other people. This is a crucial point of the analogy. All of this was system management. I was unconsciously working the system, and this management process would later insert itself into all parts of my life as I came to understand the logic of it. Today, my former role serves me well as an analogy, a template, for how I want to visualize all aspects of my life. Like my position as project engineer with the electric utility years ago, today I examine, tweak, maintain, and upgrade all the systems of my existence while I avoid getting caught up in minor add-ons. I no longer major in minors. Your own analogy will remind you to avoid that too. Maintenance and 99.9% reliability. In any part of life, in order to avoid system failures and to ensure top efficiency, the performance of regular system maintenance is mandatory. Now that you understand that systems are everywhere, it will make sense to you that maintenance of all human systems is necessary. Changing the car's oil, conducting staff meetings, watering the houseplants, dinner out with a spouse, ball games with the kids, bonuses for the best performing employees, routine visits with customers, record keeping, physical fitness, etc. However, for many people in the midst of chaos control, skipping these important wheel-greasing chores is the first casualty. In so many life situations that include careers, marriages, friendships, mechanical devices, play, homes, personal health, all of it, the necessary routine maintenance is skipped because of fire killing, simple laziness, and especially ignorance of the way linear systems proceed in the real mechanical world. Electricity originates from a generating facility, and then power lines carry it to the end user. For the electricity, it's a long hazard rod trip through multiple electrical subsystems and tough terrain. Weather extremes, vandalism, and the incessant ravages of time imperil the electricity's delivery. Yet, interestingly, in checking official statistics at the utility where I used to work, I found that over the last 7 years, the average customer's power failed an average of just 73 minutes per year. Wow, think about that. There are 525,600 minutes in a year, which means the average electric utility customer had steady electric power more than 99.9% of the time. Does that percentage sound familiar? In considering a power line's path through hundreds of miles of hostile environment, combined with the volatile high-voltage electricity itself, which is so anxious to escape its confining wires and transformers, how do the management and staff of an electric utility accomplish this astonishing degree of reliability? They do it by viewing their electrical network as a system that must be assertively and relentlessly maintained, not just a conglomeration of poles, wire, and equipment that receives attention only when things go wrong. The people employed by the electric company start by designing and installing a robust electrical system, and then they coddle it. The heart of the analogy. In summary, my role as project engineer on a large electrical system was to isolate the electrical system and then look down on it from an outside and slightly elevated vantage point in order to, 1, design system improvements, 2, create new subsystems from scratch while eliminating ones that are obsolete, and 3, Monitor existing systems to make sure they function reliably in a changing, demanding environment. What's your analogy? A car? A human body? An airplane? A ship? Use it to remind yourself to view your world with a system perspective. See the perfection of your encapsulated system analogy and apply it to whatever situation you find yourself in. You can do this because, for practical purposes, all the systems of the world operate in exactly the same way. This is not theory, and there is no mystery. This is mechanical reality. Watch things from a distance. As I visualize an electrical power system as a metaphor for my life, it is a reminder to avoid being a worker and to be, rather, a project engineer. As you apply your own analogy to your business or supervisory job, you will find yourself deflecting hands-on work to others. Instead, you will be creating new systems, designing improvements on existing systems, and supervising the people who will do the actual work. Of course, if you are an artist or another creator, or you work for someone else, this will not be entirely true. However, whatever your life's role, there is room for movement in the work-the-system direction, a direction that can only improve your situation, whatever it is. More on the job and work aspect in Chapter 19. In considering your new analogy and from your new posture as a project engineer, you will begin to watch things from a distance, from that place that is outside and slightly elevated. The more time you spend seeing your world from this bird's-eye view, the faster you will attain your goals, and the more time you will have to spend on that outside and slightly elevated perch. If you are not at the head of your organization, no problem. The system's perspective will quickly propel you upward through the ranks. It really is this simple. Avoid becoming caught up in the work. Instead, step outside, look down, and isolate the individual systems on paper in a 1-2-3 format. Then, deciding overall what you want the systems to accomplish, identify defects as well as outside changing situations. Then improve the systems, always documenting those improvements. Because you have designed these systems to operate without your constant involvement, you can then back off and occasionally, but routinely, monitor and direct things. I approach all my personal systems from the project engineer's viewpoint. Systems to stay fit, keep in touch with extended family, invest money, maintain computers, and even climbing mountains. An especially satisfying one is the daily half hour I spend at home working my reorganizing system. This is perhaps my simplest system, nothing more than an allocated daily time period dedicated to a narrow purpose, 30 minutes spent reorganizing. It's free-form time used to clean things up, to straighten things out in my office, in my closet, in the garage. Sometimes it's going outside and pruning the shrubs. It's about putting things in order in my life, and it is an antidote to insidious, looming clutter, both physical and mental. In the beginning of my new systems-oriented lifestyle, I would constantly visualize my personal electric system analogy and its dictate that I be a project engineer. Now I don't think about it too often because the system's mindset is visceral, hardwired inside my being. Pick your analogy carefully. Then, match your world to it, and your everyday actions will begin to become more efficient and productive. Not too far down the line, freedom and power will materialize. Illustration: toilet paper. This illustration borders on the nonsensical, but it makes two points. First, that the system's perspective is not common. And second, that the perspective will become permanently ingrained once the logic of it is understood. As an example of systems thinking, and at the risk of using an awful pun, reaching for a piece of toilet paper is the bottom line. Toilet paper is a mandatory accessory. It may be the one material thing that all of us have used daily for all of our adult lives. As an illustration of a system that is ubiquitous, it's perfect. The act of loading toilet paper on a toilet paper dispenser is a system that proceeds in a linear fashion until the goal is accomplished. Step 1. In the bathroom, approach the sink. Step 2. Open the cabinet door underneath the sink. Step 3. Reach into the cabinet and grasp a roll of toilet paper. Step 4. Take the protective wrapper off the roll. Step 5. Approach the toilet paper dispenser with the roll, etc. Ask yourself the following question. Right now, in your own house or apartment, is a paper roll loaded on the dispenser with the free end of the paper off the top of the roll where it can be easily grasped? Or, is the leading edge off the bottom of the roll against the wall, where one must awkwardly reach underneath the roll to retrieve it. For the fun of it, over the years, I've kept an informal tally, not counting hotels and motels where professional house cleaners have been instructed on the most efficient positioning. It is a nearly 50-50 split, with a slight advantage going to those who choose top. This means most people don't think one way or the other about the insertion of the roll in the dispenser. Or, implausibly, one half the population is adamant that the roll be inserted one way, and the other half of the population the other way. Not many people think of this triviality. Is it important? Of course not. But that is not what matters here. The important point is that it illustrates the lack of innate systems thinking by the vast majority of people. Since having the retrieving end of the paper on the top of the roll makes grasping the paper easier, why doesn't everyone load the paper that way every time? Is the task of inserting the roll one way more difficult than inserting it the other way? Not at all. But deciding to always do it this way would require a one-time analysis of the goal and the process. In this case, just a few seconds of time. And many of us don't spend time considering underlying processes, even one so innocuous as this one. Yes, this is a silly illustration, but try to get past that. See that in considering loading the paper in a different way, you are putting yourself outside and above the act of loading toilet paper. You are deliberately managing the process in order to produce an incrementally better result every single time the toilet paper retrieval process executes in the future. There is another, more visceral lesson here, and maybe it's a bit unnerving. Because you have considered this toilet paper question, it may cause you to choose to load your rolls in a more deliberate way, or the contrarian in you may consciously decide not to. Whatever your choice, my prediction is that from now on you will think about the process every time you replace a toilet paper roll. Like it or not, due to this end-of-chapter illustration, there is a small slice of systems methodology that has been permanently embedded in your thinking process. Welcome to my world. For the record, when I polled my management staff in a staff meeting on how they load their toilet paper at home, I got this response from every single one of them. Please! Off the top, of course! Even in the most mundane tasks, the Centratel staff reflexively takes a posture of being outside and slightly elevated. Because they have studied and worked with the logic of systems methodology, it's ingrained permanently. The work the system mindset will keep you ever alert to small system improvements that can easily be implemented. Right this minute, looking around from the space you now occupy, is there a system that can be improved?